Today on Real Radio.
Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Therefore, he is also able to save. Will you mark that down? He's able to save, that's you and I, to the uttermost, those who come to God through him. Since Jesus always lives to make intercession for us. That's Hebrews 7, verse 25. Who then needs saving? You say, Jack, what does saving mean? It's interesting. Throughout Old and New Testament alike, the Bible announces that you and I, we humans, need saving. But if you and I do not understand what we need saving from, then how can we be saved? We can't call out to the one that delivers us.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're looking at part of chapter 5, the section that features a number of events that support the messianic and divine status of Jesus of Nazareth. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called It's Time to Get Up and Go.
Remember, he cleansed the leper and he healed the paralytic man. The man that was paralyzed, Jesus touched him, and the man was able to get up and go home and to go on his way and to minister. And we saw also that the man who was cleansed of leprosy, he was able to go back into his community, go back home, go back to his family, and enjoy love again. But not only love again and family again, but the forgiveness of God, as both of these tremendous, miraculous events that the Lord provided speak of eternal relationship with God in salvation. So again, it's time to get up and go, and that applies to us as we look to part two of our message. Look in your Bible with us, chapter 5, but we pick it up where we left off in verse 20. Look it with me. When he saw their faith, that is when Jesus saw their faith, when we left off, he was watching these men bring their friend down who was paralyzed. And when Jesus saw their faith, that is the faith of those four men, he said to the man, your sins are forgiven you. Verse 21, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, that is to argue within themselves, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But Jesus, perceiving their thoughts, answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say? Now listen, everyone. Your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Now watch this. He said to the paralyzed man. No doubt Jesus now turns from looking at the Pharisees, the religious leaders. He turns his face away and looks at this man who's paralyzed. The man's laying down on the ground. So Jesus turns to him, the paralyzed man, and says, I say to you, rise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Verse 25, and immediately the man rose up before him, took up what he had been laying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and they were filled with fear. And that's not terror, that's with awe. They were filled with reverential awe, and this is what they said. We have seen strange things today. And I want to talk about these strange things as we finish part two of this message. We're looking at a tremendous moment in the ministry of Jesus. There is a man who's laying before him, completely paralyzed, a man who'd been paralyzed, if not all of his life, a great part of his life. Was the man born this way? Did this befall him by accident? We don't know. But the man is there, unable to walk, completely paralyzed, and it's not only in his legs, but it suggests that in his very joints, in his very hands, this man's helpless. And so he's got four friends, four loving friends who brought him to Jesus. If you have, as we talked about last time, a friend, that true friend will love and be desiring to bring you to Jesus. Because there's nothing greater in all this world than for you to know the love of God. It's not religion. It's not joining a church. It's not signing up for some club, but it's to know God personally, as the Bible says, through Jesus Christ. And his friends bring him to Christ. And Jesus begins now to say to this man, your sins are forgiven you. And the Pharisees begin to freak out. And they rightly say something. They bring judgment correctly. Who can forgive sins but God only? And that is absolutely true. God is the only one who can forgive sins. Nobody else can. So these men who represent the nation of Israel in the religious sense, they are the scribes, the Pharisees. These are the ones whom the children of Israel would go and ask, what is God like? Tell us the word of God. That is the Old Testament. Speak to us. What do we do about this or about that? What does God say? And they would begin to tell the people. So when they said, who can forgive sin but God only, they were rightly saying. And so Jesus responds. Now, by way of review, and we're going to flash through these very quickly. It's important, though, that we understand this. When we talk about us getting up and going and that it's time to be healed and be on our way, we looked last time in verses 12 to 16, just by way of review, that the Lord has an appointed time to keep. Remember that. He's got an appointed time to keep in our lives. God is in control. And we saw three things as to why that's true. That man is in great need of cleansing. We saw that in our study of the leper being cleansed. And not only that, but the Lord is desiring to help. Wherever Jesus Christ goes, both then and now, life is helped. We are encouraged. We are made better by knowing Christ. And then we also saw that what God desires to do is that others might know him. Jesus Christ came that we might know him. What's the Bible all about? That we might know him. We saw also the second point in verses 17 to 20 regarding it's time to get up and go is that the Lord's got a work to do. God is not dead, as was proclaimed in the 60s. God is very much alive, and God's got a work to do. And so what is God doing, and how does he do it? We saw last time that he does it by his power. In verse 17, Jesus was teaching, and the Bible says that the power of the Spirit of God was there, was present to heal. And God's presence is always here or anywhere where the Bible is being exalted. There's a great correlation between the power of God being revealed and, we see in verse 17, the teaching of God's word. And then we saw in verses 18 and 19 that God does it for his glory. God is God. We are not. He is holy. He is awesome. His word is true and God is power. But the Bible tells us also that God dwells in unapproachable light. Can you imagine how amazing that must be? And God is glory. And the Bible says that God came among us and he revealed through Christ his glory. And then this is where we left off last time. It's there in verse 20 that it's time to get up and go as we closed out this particular point because it's done through his purpose and for his purpose. And so when it says here, when Jesus saw their faith, he announces to the man, your sins are forgiven you. And this is what I really want to drive home in our study as we look to this. The Bible tells us this, very important. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Therefore, he is also able to save. Will you mark that down? He's able to save, that's you and I, to the uttermost, those who come to God through him. Since Jesus always lives to make intercession for us. That's Hebrews 7, verse 25. Who then needs saving? You say, Jack, what does saving mean? It's interesting. Throughout Old and New Testament alike, the Bible announces that you and I, we humans, need saving. But if you and I do not understand what we need saving from, then how can we be saved? We can't call out to the one that delivers us. It's like we were getting on a train. And you can go down to the train station, and you can desire all you want. Church, listen. You can want with all of your heart to get from here to San Diego to go to the zoo. And you say, I want to take the train. And you can talk about it all you want. You can get dressed up to ride the train. You can tell your kids, we're going to ride the train today. And when we get down to the station, we're all going to get on board that train. But if you don't have a very key portion of your desire in hand, you ain't getting on that train. And what portion am I talking about? Exactly. The ticket. You've got to have a ticket. the train is no good for you unless you're on board the train. If the Bible says you and I need saving, and it's by Jesus Christ, says the Bible, we want to be able to know saving from what? See, we can't add Jesus onto our lives as though he's some sort of module or addition or something we just assign to ourselves and like everything else we might have. No way. We must understand that when he saves us, he is saving us from our plight, from our disaster. And that's the great challenge of salvation. What do I need saving from? Why is Jesus important? When Jesus said to this man, your sins are forgiven you, why is that even important? And that's the great thrust to the conclusion of our message. Why is that so important? When Jesus said to him, listen, Jesus didn't say first, hey, get up and go, run and walk and enjoy yourself, go glorifying God. Does he do that? Oh, yes, he does. Only after Jesus announces what? Man, your sins are forgiven you. As beautiful as it is to be healed, God thinks there's something more important than that. That's your eternal soul, that you and I would be saved before the eyes of God. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the entire world and loses his own soul? You can have the world by the tail, as the world says. Oh, look, he's got the world by the tail. You can have everything in the world. But the Bible says, if you've lost your soul, you don't have anything. That's a very important thing. You can be the richest man in all of the world, but down deep inside, you'll be searching. You'll be searching. And so as we look to this, this is a very important thing. Romans chapter 5, jot it down if you would, verses 5 to 8 says, now hope does not disappoint. And you can even insert God there. Now God does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Paul is speaking to believers there in Rome. For when we were still without strength, in due time, the word means at the right moment, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely will a righteous man die for someone, yet perhaps for a good man, someone may even dare to die. Listen, verse 8, but God who demonstrates his own love toward us. Oh, that's beautiful. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hey, let's pretend we were a Pentecostal church for a moment. And say amen or something when I say this again. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. You guys are wonderful. Did you get that? That we, without strength, the word means that you and I had no power to save ourselves. Oh, Pastor, I can do it. No, you can't, but I feel like I can do it. Too bad. Oh, one of the glories of getting older is watching people who are younger than you get older also. No longer can I jump over the fence. I lament that. But then I watch some of these people I thought were once young and they try to jump over the fence. And I see them fall on their face as once I did. Now I'm too wise to try jumping over the fence. We all go that way. You say, well, I feel great. You may be feeling great or you may not be feeling so great. The truth of the matter is we are all without strength to save ourselves. But Pastor, I can scale that fence. You might think you can scale it for now, and maybe you can. But the day is coming for all of us when we can't save ourselves. We can't deliver ourselves from that hurdle or from that pole vault or from that moment. And we'll cry out, help! Well, in the same way, we can't say, you and I have no power over the thoughts that we think outside of Christ. The things that we've gone through, the things that are wrong, the sin that's in our lives. What do we need saving from? Those sins. The Bible tells us that God demonstrated his love toward us. He didn't have to, you know. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you understand the magnitude of that? When we couldn't save ourselves, God says, I'll save you. Please don't ever think for a moment that this God of the Bible is not a loving God. The word love appears throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation more than any other religious writings of any other book in all history of all time. And the Bible says that God is love, his very nature. He loves you. While we were yet without strength, Christ died for us. Wow. So, you know, it's funny. Those of you who are Christians this morning and you're battling, maybe you battling legalism in your life. That's a shame. Get away from it. Watch this. God invites you. He says, come and know me. Accept my son. Trust in his work upon the cross. And at some point in time, you said yes, and you were born again, Jesus said. But since you were born again, sometimes, you know, when you sin and you mess up, you begin to think, oh, God doesn't love me anymore. Or somehow, oh, God's cast me away. Not true. If now you are a child of God, and you desire a relationship with him, how beautiful the condition and state you are in at this moment versus the day when you first began to awaken to the fact, I need saving and Christ alone can save me. Oh, God, save me! While you and I were yet sinners, in the mind of God, though you and I would be born 2,000 years after the cross, when Jesus went to the cross, he had you and I on our mind, on his mind. Isn't that great? He had you and I upon his heart. Now look, we look at our third point, which will be the closing section of our study, but of course, it's where we'll spend the most of the time this morning. It's time to get up and go, verses 21 to 26. Why? Because the Lord has lives to change. And this is very, very, I pray, probing to our hearts. Verse 21, when the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, they began to argue the event in their mind. Their bias. Arguing is okay in the true meaning of the word. To deliberate, to debate, to come to a conclusion. These guys are not doing that. They are understanding that only God can forgive sin, but they missed the Old Testament scriptures that announced that the Messiah would come to deliver man from sin. That he would be like, as it were, a sheep that was silent before its shears, Isaiah 52 and 3. They missed the Messianic Psalms. They should have known that the Messiah would come as a man and die. So they understood rightly that only God could forgive sins. But number two, what they missed was the fact that it would be Christ dying for them. And so they began to argue within their own hearts and in their own minds. And they began to say, who is this or that speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And so, notice this. There's a setup that begins to take place that will go right into their heart that they'll have to reckon with. And so it's true for us. Number one, most important thing is this. Will you hear what God is saying? See, verse 21 tells us that these guys are not hearing. They're religious. Church, listen. You can be religious all you want. It doesn't mean you're going to hear from God. In fact, quite frankly, your religion can keep you from hearing from God. Because we may be taught by traditions of men that God speaks this way, God speaks that way, and that's the way that it's got to be. Or God speaks through these kinds of people. Maybe you would feel more comfortable this morning, and I mean this with all sarcasm. No, truly. Maybe this morning. Look, I wore this coat this morning because I have a white shirt on, and it drives the camera crazy, so I got to hide a lot of it because it does that. See this? It wigs it out. But it's also cold. But you might say, gee, I'm visiting for the first time, and Pastor, it'd be almost better if you had a tie on. Why? Because I can maybe hear you a little bit better. See, most of us in Calvary kind of laugh about that because maybe we were born and raised in Calvary Chapel, and apparel's never been a point. But what about the people who maybe either have been bound up by only those who can speak to them have to wear a robe. Some of you may be sitting here this morning and you're saying, I can't cope with this because you don't have a robe on. You want me to go get a robe? I'll go get a robe. I'll do anything so that you might hear the word of God. Amen. If it puts a robe, I'll put a robe on. You say, Pastor, you're kind of freaking me out with the coat. I want you to wear your normal shirt. Then I'll wear my normal shirt. Like Paul, I will, by the grace of God, become all things to all men that some might be saved. But what I'm challenging you about this morning is get away from the things that you and I have been conditioned to and ask yourself, am I hearing from God? The Lord wants to speak. Am I hearing? Am I listening to what he's speaking to me? The scribes and the Pharisees dressed up. Oh, I wish you could see how dressed up these guys are. They have incredible robes and all of the things that speak of their achievements and of their education and of their power over the masses. They're dressed exactly according to the law. And what are they doing? They're fighting the very one who gave them the law. They're fighting the one who said, you can't get saved by keeping the law. They're fighting him. Will they hear? Some will hear. We know that from history. Most won't. Look at number two under this consideration. The Lord's got lives to change. Will they believe? Will you believe? Verses 22 to 23, but when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning? Why are you arguing in your hearts? See, it's an issue of the heart. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to rise up and walk? Watch this. It's brilliant what Jesus is doing. It's easier for me to say to James, your sins are forgiven you. Why? Nobody in here can qualify that. You got that? It's ethereal. It's spiritual. James, your sins are forgiven you. And you might say, well, that's kind of cool. Can you say it to me? How can you test it? He doesn't light up. Bing. He doesn't get that Colgate smile. He doesn't bite into the butter and the imperial crown comes on his head. How do you know? The answer is you can't know. Only God knows that. Your sins are forgiven you. Great, but how do you know? So Jesus says, hey guys, religious leaders, what's easier? For me to say your sins are forgiven, anybody can do that, or to say to this guy, pick up your bed and go home.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called It's Time to Get Up and Go, a study taken from Luke chapter 5 and verses 12 through 26. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more in this mini-series. Now, we want to remind you of Pastor Jack's recently aired series called How to Be a Christian While on Campus, and it's still available for your tax-deductible contribution of any size to the outreach of Real Radio. How to Be a Christian While on Campus on CD or DVD. Visit realradioactive.org for more info. Also, we've been telling you about the final weekend of this month, a very important set of dates. Here's Pastor Jack to tell us more.
Mike, thank you very much for that. And we are very excited. In fact, each year we have been getting more excited as we approach the return of the Lord. This prophecy conference is every year, as you can imagine, more and more relevant. In fact, so much so, I would like some of our listeners to hear from a couple of guys, Mike, that I hold in high regard. And one of them is Dr. Ed Heinsohn of Liberty University. And Dr. Ed Heinsohn said regarding this conference, and I quote, the Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference is the most practical and well-attended conference on biblical prophecy on the West Coast of America. That's a great thing for him to have said. And then our own beloved Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, who said, quote, this conference is needed on a national scale. Well, the great thing about this conference is that speakers do come in not only nationally for this event, but even internationally. And some of these speakers, for example, Waleed Shubat will be with us. General Jerry Boykin, one of the founders of the Delta Force, will be here. Dr. David Hawking, Congressman Bob McEwen, Pastor Greg Laurie, and Jay Smith will be making his way all the way from London to speak to us. It's going to be a great conference, and those dates are Friday. That is going to be February 26th. That's 7 o'clock in the evening. We kick it off. And then Saturday, the doors open again at 9 a.m. And then on Sunday morning, General Boykin will address the church here for all three services, February 28th. That's 7:30, 9:30, and 11:30 a.m. Mike, it's a conference that really people have set as number one on their priority as conferences go. We've had visitors come each year as far away as New York and Canada for this conference. So we're very excited.
Okay, thanks, Pastor Jack. Once again, our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, you can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
And Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.